This episode of the Kru'u Muay Thai podcast is brought to you by PMTLifestyle.com, authentic Muay Thai lifestyle by Kru'u. Definitely go check out the website at PMTLifestyle.com for some awesome lifestyle merchandise. That's for those of you out there either involved in Muay Thai, looking at getting involved in Muay Thai, embrace a healthier lifestyle to live the life of a Nak Muay. Go check it out.
All right, welcome to this episode of the Kru'u Muay Thai podcast. Today we have Coach Phil Gillies. Phil, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to chat with you today.
I know last time we were on, we were kind of just like asking questions, I think, like that. I don't think you were coaching yet either. So, you know, it's been a while. I can't even remember the episode number that it was on. But, you know, you've been a student with us at Kru'u Muay Thai for since what, 2019?
Yes, 2019.
Damn, man, time flies. It went through, worked through us during COVID. Had your first match in the backyard in Ojai.
Street Beasts.
Street Beasts, aka the Velociraptor. And then, you know, continued on training, began helping out with coaching, doing leadership and stuff like that too. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I started martial arts back in 2017, back when I was doing stand-up comedy. When I was doing stand-up comedy, the thought crossed my mind that, you know, I was doing shows in some shady dive bars, you know, places where people are definitely like packing, you know, got tattoos on their heads, stuff like that. And I'm like, dude, if I piss anybody off with a joke, I don't really know. I can defend myself. And that's what led me to pursue martial arts. And now here I am. I quit stand-up and I've kept doing martial arts. I found it a lot more fulfilling than, you know, telling jokes to empty rooms or nobody laughing. And, you know, no one laughs at my jokes when I'm teaching class anyways, but at least still I'm teaching them something. So,
and you have a room full of people, right?
Right.
Definitely, man. I know we're stoked to have you at the academy as part of the team and stuff like that too. You know, kind of going through that, you know, that first fight process, there's a long drawn out thing with COVID. You stayed ready for like a whole year for USMTO. You know, tell me a little bit about, like, you know, was there like a secret that like helped you get through to help you tackle that task and, you know, to kind of be able to get to that point where you're like, hey, I'm going to stay ready no matter what?
That's a good question. Back then, so that would have been, you know, 2020, 2021. And when I started at Kru'u Muay Thai in 2019, I was closer to like between 190 and 200 pounds.
Yeah.
And as I was moving up the ranks, I think I got to green shirt. So right at the intermediate advanced level, and you took me aside and you had me sign a student commitment agreement to come in and train 3 times a week to lose a certain amount of weight. And then the goal was to, you know, compete a few times.
Yeah.
I originally said I wanted to compete once. And then you're like, you got to do it at least 3 times to get a good, feel of what competition's like. You know, I've done 4 now and I still want to do, you know, at least 1 more.
Yeah.
But when I started that journey and I saw the transformation from my commitment, I was waking up and going to the gym and I was coming in to train. Sometimes I would, you know, do a whole block of classes in the evening time because I realized it was a big goal. I took it very seriously because, you know, you're going to get in and you're going to fight somebody else. So I was just, I guess, out of the nervousness of anticipation and what could happen.
Yeah.
That was a huge part of what drove me. The other part was I was pretty much obsessed with Muay Thai from the day that I started.
Mm-hmm.
And so the obsession kind of helped as well. And then when I would be resting, I would just feel like, oh, I need to be doing something, right? Mm-hmm. So part of it was maybe a little bit of an unhealthy obsession.
Yeah.
I didn't focus on rest as much as I should have, or recovery, which you can see. And remember, I watch my Street Beefs fight from time to time just to see. And I look at how stiff my hips are and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, man, I should have been stretching a lot more and going to get a massage so I could, you know, I didn't throw very many kicks in that fight because hip mobility was a huge issue. But I would say just the obsession to want to win my first fight, because if I wouldn't have won my first fight, I think I would have, I would have taken a different direction. I would have been a lot more discouraged, and who knows if I would have still kept going, but it was that drive to win, because I was like, if I don't win my first fight, then what's the point?
Sounds like something you would say.
Right? Now, you know, I've developed a more healthy mindset around training now, you know, to help me with longevity.
Yeah.
Because the mindset that I had back then, like it was good to get me to start and to win my first fight, but for the long term, it wasn't a sustainable mindset. So does that answer the question?
Yeah, it does. So like, you know, definitely like, you know, I'm having like a proud coach moment for the commitment agreement stuff. Cause those are like such key things. For like having those goals and like committed, like you have a group of people that are committed and like are aware of this goal. And you know, with that too, like how did you tackle like the most going through that? Like, how did you figure out what was like the most vital priority each day when you're like, you know, now you're going through and you say you have a healthier mindset. Like, how did you come to that? How did you get to that? Like, figure out like, hey, what are the vital priorities I need to get done each day to continue that longevity in training?
So at first, I think I found a lot of my self-worth tied up in my ability to train and my skills, because it brought me a lot of inner peace and mental clarity when I started. And martial arts, aside from being a skill that you're learning, is also, I believe, a personal and a spiritual journey. You're going to learn things about yourself. You're going to push yourself to your limits. So as you know, I competed more the last, you know, you were there, I think in my corner for the second competition when we went down to Anaheim.
Yeah.
And it was crew ed in the last one that I did at Burbank, both of those fights. So my second and my fourth one, I walked out with injuries. The second one, I got my rib popped out of place. And then my last one, my chest got like pulled apart from knees to the chest.
Yeah.
And so those recovery times took me a while, because I'm 33 now. That, you know, I was a little, like, you know, a couple years younger when the injuries happened. But that's when I, a switch flipped in my brain. I was like, look, I already know that I can go hard and push myself to my limit all the time if I want to. But how is it going to benefit me in the long run if I'm going in and getting in these scraps where I walk out and my body takes longer to recover?
Yeah.
You know, so I had to switch. I was like, you know what? I need to focus on making my body stronger. And for me, that involves probably more rest than some people would probably put into their routine, because a lot of competitors are younger. They're in their early 20s, maybe late 20s tops. I'm older than that. My body's gone through more. And, you know, I wake up in the morning, my ankles are tight. I freaking have to like roll out my ankles before I walk to the bathroom.
Snap, crackle, pop.
Snap, crackle, pop. You know what I, so, and the reason that I started paying more attention to that is because, as you've pointed out in the book that you've written, and also just chatting with me as well, is just your body is your number one asset when you're doing this. You have to take care of it. You have to pay attention to what it's telling you. It's not necessarily about going in there and beating yourself to a pulp every training session. It's about getting stronger and getting better. So you have to figure out the formula that works for you.
Definitely. Hmm? Definitely. No, I can see that. And that makes sense. You know, when you're breaking it down this way, I remember all these moments in time and, you know, I could see how you would come to that. It's a natural thing. You know, if you're falling and being coachable, like you are, to be able to get to that point of like, hey, this is what I need to do. Right. You know, so kind of going into that, you know, you're talking about like foam rolling, like, you know, some of the things that you have to do daily to maintain, you know, what would you say is one of your daily habits that you strongly believe will help contribute to your success, like in Muay Thai and in life and like as a coach?
I would say just being willing, just being accepting of what the work that you need to do is and doing it. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, maybe that sounds cliche and general, but for me, what was challenging about that is that I realized, you know, I was going to need to be sitting still more, rolling out my back, things like that. Mm-hmm. And going from just going every day and just going in and training, and it takes a little while to transition, because I had mentally conditioned myself that I'm not making any progress unless I'm going in, you know, every day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, punching the bag, hitting pads, sparring, even if I'm sore. And then I had to accept that recovery is part of training.
Yep.
And once I, you know, brought that into, or once I had that paradigm shift, then it was a lot easier for me to, you know, just lay on my floor with my legs up on the wall and be like, okay, this is going to make my kicks better.
Yeah. You know,
my mobility is going to improve the more that I do this. And that's going to improve my training sessions when I do go in and drill.
That makes sense. And like, you know, you messaged me about like the one championship fight. So I know like you're practicing your mental stuff too, by watching fights and developing your IQ that way too. And I think that's a really undervalued thing that people need to do more of, no matter what their goal is in Muay Thai. So, I know that you're working on those things as well. You know, going through that, you know, I know some of your backstory. I know some other people, I know most people don't probably. So, you know, I want you to tell us about like, what's a challenging time or situation that could have devastated or even ruined you? But you persisted, you made like, you know, some tough decisions. And now that it was like a once painful memory, it serves as an invaluable learning experience. What would you say that would be?
In life in general, or specifically within competition?
Whatever you're comfortable sharing, my friend.
I think, so last year I started therapy, going to therapy, and I delved into my childhood with my therapist to kind of just get into the psychology of why I tell myself some of the things that I do to keep myself going and determine what's healthy, what's not healthy, because you've known me for a few years and you've had your moments with me where it's just like, okay, Phil, you need to chill, you know, like, relax. Everything's going to be okay. Yeah. Just let things play out. You know, when you've been instructing me to be a coach and, you know, maybe I've gotten defensive during corrections, you're like, no, it's okay. Like, you didn't know I'm just showing you this so that you know what to do. Right. And so I learned in therapy that a lot of those kinds of reactions came from the fact that my parents were I'm adopted. So, you know, I've had an issue with abandonment, and then I have an issue with perfection because of the way that I was raised and the things that I went through in my childhood. And I've had to train my brain to realize that, or, you know, people aren't out, you know, if I don't do something perfect, that doesn't mean people are going to be like, all right, well, later, we're not your friend anymore, or get out, or like that. Right. That part of human is making mistakes. So
I think that kind of goes into like why your drive was like, hey, I'm going to do everything in my power to be good, right, and win my fight. So like, you know, you had took that obsession to be that perfectionist stuff, like a little in me, like unhealthy, right?
Right.
Yeah. I can definitely relate to that a little bit, like OCD almost, that develops out of that for sure. So, and that, you know, we've talked about the therapy thing before, and the amount of people that need it, man, they don't realize it is pretty, it's pretty out there. And I think a lot of it got brought to light, I think, even more so during COVID with like the self-isolation and stuff like that too, right, that people went through. And we're all lucky because we all had each other during that time, right? So it was like,
yeah, definitely.
You know, it could have been a lot worse. And that's what's really great about like our community that we have at the academy and stuff like that also. So, you know, going through that too, you know, what do you think is the most critical skill that, you know, people need, like, in order to master, in order to thrive in, you know, I don't want to call it post-COVID times, but like, it's, you know, the like our whole society is kind of like, it's being digitized. So what would you say is like a really critical skill that a person is going to need today to be able to thrive and be able to live?
To live happily, I would say, because we live in a more digitized world now, especially after COVID, it's easy to look at videos on social media and compare yourself to what's going on there and get discouraged because you see other people just kind of posting their, you know, their best of moments, getting the likes, getting the clout. And I would say, just put your head down and do the work for yourself and that kind of stuff. If you use it for inspiration, great. If it becomes a detriment, cause you're like, oh, well, I'm not there, so what's the point? Then you don't need that. You just, the circle around you will notice when you're doing the work. And if they're good friends, they'll help you do the work as well. They'll want to be a part of your journey, and your journey will be inspiring to them as well. That, you know, when I was training for my first fight and I lost all my weight, I think I lost like 25, 30 pounds. There were students that saw, they're like, oh my God, I remember when you were like 30 pounds lighter. And they're like, that's so inspiring. Like, it makes me want to like come in and train and like that, you know. And that just, I wasn't doing it for that reason. I was doing it because it was what was required of me to do what I needed to do.
Yeah.
And so I think the biggest habit people should develop, especially in a time where social media and technology can just be so distracting and confuse you, is just to stay on your path. Just pay attention to what you're doing. Be the best version of yourself. And this is easier said than done, right? Because you have to learn what the habits that you need to develop are. And it's different for everybody. There's cookie cutter way to just, oh, how do I get from point A to point B? And it's like, that depends on you.
Definitely. And, you know, you touched on a lot there. And I think one of the big things, and we've talked about this, is like the easiest way to fail is to compare yourself to somebody else. Right. And I do think a lot of people, they look at social media, right. They look at Instagram or whatever, like, oh man, I'm not that good. Or they look at even the person next to them. They're like, how come they're getting better? It's like, whoa, like no one's getting better than anybody. Like, this is about like self-mastery in martial arts. So,
right.
I think that's something that's like very key. And I've seen it. I'm sure you started seeing it too in coaching. Like, you know, you get questions like, how come this person is getting better with this or this? It's like, whoa, like pump the brakes a little bit. This is right. This is about you. Like, you know, the thing that you can work on is stop looking at others, right? You need to look at yourself. So, you know, going on to that too, there is a lot of lessons learned, you know, through these times and stuff like that as well. Can you share with us or tell us about what the most influential lesson you've learned from one of your mentors and how it helped you become the person you are today? It can be a mentor from martial arts. It can be from life, whatever it may be.
I think so. A mentor for me would be my supervisor, Beverly. Mm-hmm. Beverly from. So I work as a property manager for a self-storage facility. Mm-hmm. And the company that employs me is a property management group. And Beverly has had a huge positive impact in the way that I've grown as a manager. And the biggest lesson that I've learned from her that also translate over to martial arts is no matter how big or how little the thing that you need to do is, if you just keep pushing it away, it's just going to become more frustrating the more that you avoid it.
Oh yeah.
And usually in my life, when there are situations that frustrate me, when I dive a little deeper, it's because there's something about the situation that I don't want to face, either because it means that I have to learn something new, have an uncomfortable conversation. And so it gets brushed under the rug.
Yeah.
And so the biggest skill that I've learned is to just face those. And a way that therapy ties into helping me with that is to accept that conflict or facing your imperfections is not a bad thing. Nobody's perfect. Conflict is going to arise because no two human beings are the same. And conflict is completely normal and okay because it's just a result of differing thought patterns, ways of life. And the healthy way to address it is head on, and you'll learn something from it once you accept that it's a part of just the way things are.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. No, that's great. You know, for those that don't know, I've known Beverly. I met her when I was like a teenager. So it's actually a funny story. Maybe we'll get into that another time. where what filled us for work and stuff like that. Small world. You know, going into that too, you know, with, you know, managing and doing that stuff too, kind of breaking down the recipe for success. We all know that building and scaling anything is like really hard work, right? I mean, you've built and scaled yourself essentially. And you're doing that with classes and coaching. But when we have the right strategy, the right recipe to follow, then the action steps become more like ingredients, and we can, you know, systemically really like implement those into the projects or goals that we want, one ingredient at a time. So what would you say is like, you know, the, like one of those ingredients that you'd say that would go into, like, let's say for coaching, what's one of those like small things, like that one ingredient that we can have, that would really just help break down that recipe for success for people?
For the one that I have dealt with most regularly in classes is just to allow students the space to make mistakes and learn on their own, right? We have our method as coaches for how we're supposed to teach students. Mm-hmm. And then we present the information, and then you just have to let them, you know, just do.
Yeah.
Right. You can't hold their hand and stop them after every rep. Like, no, this is what I meant when I said that. Right.
You meant
the idea, just like extend your jab all the way. And then, you know, maybe they do it better, but not exactly how you showed it. And you're like, that's better. Keep working on it. And then go, and then, you know, revisit and develop rapport. Like, hey, remember when I told you about your jab and extend it, it's looking a lot better. I could tell that you've been working on it. Right. Mm-hmm. And just accepting that, no, it's not, no matter that, I'm kind of stumbling on my words, but it's easy as a coach when students aren't executing the technique, how you explain, to think, oh, that was a bad on my part. I didn't explain it right.
Yeah.
No, everybody receives information differently. You give them the basics and they're going to learn it in the way that they learn it best. And your job is to guide them accordingly.
Yes, absolutely, man. So, and kind of going into that too, you know, if there was like a magic reset button as it relates to starting your journey in martial arts, what like system or method would you go back and put into place sooner rather than later, and why?
I would definitely have put into play getting up early, doing my runs, just getting up and doing something for myself first. It's very commonplace. You know, you sleep in until like the last second. You know, I need an hour to prepare for work. I gotta be at work at 8, so I'm gonna wake up at 7. But what that does is that sets you up to your habits are being developed for the benefit of somebody else.
Yep.
And after years and years of doing that, that wears on your mind. You start to get disgruntled and you realize like, what am I doing? You know, but if you start your day doing something for yourself, something to improve yourself, you're in control of your life. And it leads to an overall, just you're in a better mood. You feel like there's purpose to what you're doing. And also it's going to make you a better asset to whoever you work for.
Yeah.
You have a healthier state of mind.
Definitely. I can relate with that 100%, you know, with the amount of like, you know, time you have in a day, right? It's easy to work and give and produce, right? But it's really hard to pour from a empty cup, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So with that too, what's one strategy or like recipe that if, you know, martial artists, and other coaches, you know, could consistently apply every day, to compound big wins for them, what would that be?
From my personal experience, I would say take the time to don't save your lesson for the day of. Mm-hmm. Think about it like 1 or 2 days in advance and take the time to treat it as the most important thing that you're going to be doing that evening, because that's going to reflect in your teaching and the students see it. Mm-hmm. If you walk in 30 minutes before class and you're like, okay, I'm going to review the notes and whatnot, and you know, you don't dedicate enough preparation, it shows in the way that you explain the combination or the concepts that you're working on. If students are not getting it, it becomes a little more frustrating to go and make corrections. But if you take the time to just really know, okay, this is what I'm teaching 2 days from now, you know, you can incorporate it into your shadow boxing. You can just kind of let it mull. And then when you go and present the lesson, you have a strong roadmap, and then you'll be able to address any challenges that the students have a lot easier. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, was the saying, I believe, is fail to plan to fail.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you got to prepare, right? You got to prepare for success to be successful. You know, going with that too, let's fast forward 1 year. You're looking back on decisions you're kind of making, considering right now, and imagine the people you work with today exceed your highest expectations. You know, what strategy or like recipe did they consistently apply that delivered the most value to you in like, you know, what you're doing.
What have they done consistently that's helped like, you grow? Is that what you're?
Yeah. Helped you grow, helped the team grow, or helped you at work? Like, what's something that like, what do those people do? Like, if you look forward to a year from now, like, what does your life look like a year from now? How is it better, and how'd that get there with the people around you? What do they do to help with that?
So the people around me. So we'll start with my immediate supervisor, Beverly, who I mentioned. She has allowed me so much room to grow, hasn't micromanaged. And I've learned so much about how to be a leader and be a manager because she's given me room to fail, make mistakes, and then just, you know, set me straight whenever necessary. You and Crew Ed, same thing. You know, you just allow the room for growth. And, you know, I've been working with Crew Ed doing private lessons the past month and a half. And he's one thing that I like about Crew Ed is he's encouraging, but he's also honest with where it is that needs work. There's like no sugarcoating it. Yeah. So it can hit a little different and you're just like, oh, well, okay. You know, but, but afterwards you realize like, you know, I'm on the competition team. He's not going to sugarcoat, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be a day again where he's in my corner and, you know, trying to lead me to victory. And it doesn't help to, you know, sugarcoat. So
I would say one of the things that goes into that is the people around you. The consistent thing is candor, right?
Yeah.
Being candorous, like being, you know, people say being frank, right?
Yeah.
So let's go into this too. You know, let's imagine that you're staying in a room full of martial artists, which is not uncommon for you, right? And let's say other, you know, people like business people or managers, people just like you when you were starting out, right? And they're battling their way through fears, worries, doubts, struggles to find their footing and what it is that they're doing. What are two or three strategies you'd recommend they focus on to best ensure their own success?
Well, to be coachable, as you mentioned, and that kind of goes hand in hand with being willing to accept that you're going to make mistakes. Perfect. And then being flexible as well, not so rigid with in terms of what your vision is. You can have a vision at the beginning, and then as you go through the journey of whatever it is, things play out differently than expected, and you want to frame it as things going wrong or what am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like, no, actually you're doing exactly what you need to. And it's turning out different than what you pictured.
Yeah.
And accepting that your ride's going to go a lot smoother. Cause if you start trying to force things that you just can't change, that's where unnecessary stress and frustration and things can go downhill from there.
100%. So, kind of going through, I know you've been doing like some training on like early mornings and stuff like that too, right? At the academy.
Right.
Yeah. So what got you that? Is that part of like the, hey, I want to get up early and do something for myself?
That's partially, but also because I'm currently studying for my real estate license. And also, you know, I'm going back to school to get my associates in business management. So that, you know, I can just move up professionally to be able to have the finances that I need to keep my Muay Thai journey going, because I've gotten to a level where it's like, I need to invest more to be able to get better. Right. I want to go to Thailand. That's a, you know, that costs money. I want to invest in private lessons with Crew Ed. That costs money, right? So
seminars, workshops. Seminars, yeah.
Yes, that kind of thing. Because I realize that I need to stay sharp for the students that I instruct.
100%.
And then, so I realized I had to kind of pivot my training schedule. When I was training for, when I was competing regularly, I was able to go in every night, right? No problem. Now at night times, I needed to study. So I'm not in the evenings as much. And I want to be in there every night. If I could go in there every night and do my studying, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
But I have to substitute training time for studying time, which means that I need to put my training in the mornings to be able to get all the training that I need to just maintain.
But you're still getting it in though. That's the key thing. It's like, you're still getting it in, and I've joined you once and I will join you more in those morning time sessions.
That was fun. It's hard to get up and be there at 5:30, but I wouldn't be there. If there was another time I could do it, I would, but that's
just, but that's where it fits. So you do it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, going with that too, like, you know, talking about, you know, you've gone through leadership, you're going through leadership stuff. Like, we're always constantly like leadership training, like even myself.
Right.
You know, what do you think has been like the biggest takeaway from like doing leadership training and learning this as well?
The biggest thing from leadership training that I have found extremely useful, not just in when I'm out on the mats, but also what helped develop me as a leader in my day job, was the way that we correct, right? Mm-hmm. To make sure that we're pointing out what's going well, you know, and then like, hey, this is what needs to be worked on, and then ending on a high note. And so that has translated well into areas of conflict at work. You know, whether it's a tenant that's not following the rules, or whether it's my assistant, it's like, hey, I really like that you've been a tenant here for so long, and you know, you pay your rent on time. This particular thing we need to address because it can't be happening. I'll see you in the office next month when you pay your rent. We always enjoy seeing you. Mm-hmm. I address the conflict, but then I still leave them feeling good most of the time. Other times people are like, yeah, whatever. Right. There's always the jerks that are never gonna follow rules.
Yeah.
But that little nugget from leadership training has gotten me very far in my professional life. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, like, and I think that's goes into like just, it's almost like you're coaching the person, right?
Exactly.
When you're talking to them. And this is like those little skills that I tell people, like, leadership training helps you in so many things that are not just like in Muay Thai. And we've had students who've been like high up in the corporate world that have come into leadership training, like, man, I've done so many trainings like this, but I never really listened because I just didn't give a damn about it, because it wasn't something cool like Muay Thai where like I was able to relate to it more, like where I wanted to actually like be better.
Exactly.
So, and it's hard to like, you know, have these scenarios and work because you don't get them all the time. But when you're on the mats teaching in martial arts, you get them all the time. It's like you make corrections every class. Like it's part of what you go through as being a martial arts instructor is getting that stuff too. You know, so with that, Coach Phil, thank you so much for coming in today, man. When are you on the schedule teaching right now as of November 13th?
I think right now I'm still just filling in wherever the regular coaches need coverage. Mm. I think I was trying to get onto the schedule regularly for Tuesday evenings where Coach Josh was, because he's giving those up. So, cool. But I haven't heard back from Crew Ed, so we'll see what happens.
Oh, we'll circle back on that, man. But thank you so much for coming in today, man. And anybody who's out there, be sure to follow along on the Put Your Muay Thai journey at Put Your Muay Thai on Instagram. Remember to hit the subscribe button here on YouTube as well. If you have any questions for Coach Phil, you can drop them in the comments. You can also send us all your questions to podcast@putumuaythai.com. If you want to be on the show, if you have any ideas, please go send us a message there or just drop a comment. All right. Thank you so much, Coach Phil.
Thanks, Crew Jonathan.
All right. That's going to be it for today. Thank you so much for tuning in today to the Put Your Muay Thai podcast. If you enjoy the content, go leave a review over on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. Give us a rating. It means the world to us. Also, if you want to be a guest on the Pu'u Muay Thai podcast, or if you just want to shout out to your friend, go check us out at podcast.puumuaythai.com. You can submit to be able to be a guest on the podcast. You can submit what you want to talk about. Also, if you want to just give a shout out, there's a button for that too. So, Wadi Kap.